Yours, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Did we have... we had Doug Danger, and he hung up on us, right?
Yes.
You know, I got to tell you something, Doug, if you're listening. I don't know how much more of that stuff I'm going to be able to take from you or anybody. I got people hanging up on me. Every time I bring somebody on this show, you guys ought to be grateful. Grateful. Nobody's ever heard of the Orange County Courier. They've heard of the Orange County Register, which, by the way, rest in peace, Gary Lycan. He had there was a memorial for Gary on Saturday, the radio writer for the Orange County Register. As a matter of fact, I got to say that Gary was the radio writer basically for Los Angeles radio. And forgive me, folks, for being a little local here or within the family, if you will. But for years and years and years and years and years, Gary Lycan has been was the only radio writer in Los Angeles writing about, you know, radio, such as, you know, to the extent that anybody writes about radio. He was the man in Los Angeles. It was not as comprehensive as some cities. He wasn't Ben Fong Torres in San Francisco, who, you know, Ben Fong Torres reviewed and critiqued radio. Gary was more or less the bulletin board, if you will, for the radio business in Los Angeles. He kept abreast of who was working where, who was getting a job, who was not getting a job, where you know, what stations were having success, which ones weren't. And to that end, we owe him a great debt. And Gary passed on recently, and his memorial was on Saturday. So I really appreciate that from Gary, and we'll remember him for that. Because you know what? I mean, I remember when I first got to town, he didn't have the greatest things to say about me.
Yeah, he said a lot of bad stuff. Said you're going to get kicked off.
No, he didn't say I was going to get kicked off. He just said I wasn't going to last. And you know what? That was. And I remember I was upset about that. But as time went by, I stopped being such a baby about things. You know, I've tried to stop being such a cantankerous ego case about stuff, and to see where people are just doing their job. You know, and so I want to acknowledge Gary on the air and thank him and say that I'm sorry that he's no longer with us, and thank you, Gary, for filling the shoes that you did and filling the role that you did in this city, because we, you know, this town, Los Angeles, in terms of radio, folks, you know. I don't know where most of you guys live these days, or you know where you're listening to me from, but LA radio, you know, it was bad when I got here back in '96, and with the exception of my show being on the air, naturally, it hasn't improved.
Yay!
2, 3, and cut. All right, welcome back to our program, 877-877-DICK-PHIL. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com.
Wait, what did you just say?
Never mind.
Well, no one can understand what you're saying. It has gone to my attention.
Wait, excuse me, what are you doing?
I'm going to read the story here on Chaz Bono, 60 pounds. He went from being, look at that, look at what he was, and look at what he is.
That's fine. Would you like to give me a chance to introduce you?
Well, hurry it up, will you?
Ladies and gentlemen, now here's Margaret Gray to talk about Chaz Bono.
Yes, and?
Here's Margaret Gray to talk about Chaz Bono, who's gone from 60, who's...
I'll do it. Hold on.
Well, Margaret, I didn't...
Just let me do it. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray for the Weekend Entertainment Report, even though it's Monday. Chaz, what?
Is that the name of it?
It was the Weekend Entertainment Report, but it's on a Monday, and that's an asinine name for it.
Well, who told you to call it that, Margaret?
I did.
Well, then why are you calling it that?
What?
She was calling it that. She wants to call it that.
Yeah, you want to call it that, but even though it's a Monday.
Because I didn't know it was going to be on a Monday.
Well, when did you think it was going to be?
On a Friday. Friday, yay. That way it makes sense. If I say, here is the Weekend Entertainment Report. Hi, everyone, it's Wednesday. They're going to think there's something very, very seriously wrong with me. Not that they don't already. So then I said to David, and I said to you, can we do it on Friday?
And I said yes.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry, it's the Gouldens. So then I said, could it be on a Friday? And you said yes, and David said no. So I went with David.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
Yeah, looks like you blew that.
I didn't blow. Blew who?
No, I said, looks like you blew the fact that you took his advice to put it on a Monday. Now it's a Monday, and now you call it the Margaret Gray Weekend Report, even though it's a Monday.
Yes, because it's a stupid time to do a weekend report.
Bud, Phil Stan, why don't you just...
No one's talking to you, Bud. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to our weekend report, even though it's a Monday. All right?
Fine.
Chaz Bono... Hold on. Chaz Bono. Chaz Bono. All right, let me do that again. Start with some music, Phil. Just bum, 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 bum. What? Would you please start with a little music? Go bum, 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 bum.
Dum, bum, 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 bum.
Good evening, and welcome to Margaret Gray's Entertainment Report, even though it's a Monday. Chaz Bono, if you've seen him once, you've probably seen him one too many times, because a little bit of him goes a long way. I'm talking about the former daughter of Sonny and Cher, who became the former son of Sonny because Sonny's not here, even though technically he still is his son. But Sonny, every day my life was full of gray. Sonny, you came and swept the clouds away. Well, Sonny Bono may not be here, but his son Chaz Bono is Sonny to the long-gone Sonny. No, 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 that's wrong.
What are we rehearsing here, or are we doing the report, Margaret?
Well, I guess we're doing the report. You know, you act very unprofessional.
But we're all going to be on the phone in a minute, and then everybody...
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. Hold on for a minute. We're on the air right now.
I know that.
You can't stop in the middle of a report and go, no, 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 that's not right. What are you trying to do?
What I'm trying to do is give the entertainment report, even though it's a Monday.
And that's going to be the name of it, huh?
Yes, that's going to be the name of it.
And you were ad-libbing?
No, I was not. I wrote it.
But she wrote it out, Miss Sunny. I heard of Sunny, every day my life is cold and gray. Sunny, you know the song Sunny?
Yes, I know the song Sunny.
That's what I was working in. And so I did it, and then I thought, that sucks, and I wanted to start again.
We're on the air. You can't start again. You got to keep going. That's the way it is. I'm awfully sorry to tell you.
Fine. Could you give me some...
Is there any music we can use?
Not yet. They haven't approved none. You got to go bum 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 bum.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray.
I'll do that part.
Bum 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 bum.
Cut. And now, Margaret Gray and the Weekend Report, even though it's a Monday. Hi, I'm Margaret Gray, forced into doing this report on a Monday, even though it is the Weekend Report. I'm embarrassed. I feel much smaller than I should, but I'll press on because I'm a professional. Dateline, wherever, Hollywood. Chaz Bono, the former daughter of Sonny and Cher, the rotund Chastity Bono, has lost 60 pounds. Sonny, who was the Sonny of Sonny, is now just Sonny Chaz by himself, if you will. Sonny, ooh. Yesterday my life was cold and gray. Sonny Bono, better known as Chaz Bono, he's still Sonny to the long-gone Sonny, lost 60 pounds. And how did he do that? Well, we know that Phil Henry lost 80 pounds and wasn't running around the countryside gloating as if he's the greatest thing since King Arthur. Phil Henry lost 80 pounds, kept his mouth shut for the most part, even though he did crow to his audience. But then again, how many people are those? And Phil is now a very svelte 215, 220, thereabouts pounds. I don't know how much Chaz Bono weighs, but he looks like a big fat tub to me. Back to you, Phil.
Well, that's going to win you friends with the Bonos, huh?
Well, you know something, Phil? Chaz knows that I love him. I'm in a little bit of a bad mood. I've got to suck up to you, otherwise you're going to get upset.
You got to suck up to me? What are you talking about?
I got to because you're going...
Well, you didn't have to call him a slob.
Well, he is a slob. And I love you very much, Chaz, and you know that I do. And I told your father that. And I told your mother that. And I'm telling you that. But you're a slob. Now, 60 pounds may sound good to you, and I mean this. But the man I'm sitting next to right now, the man immediately to my left, Phil Henry, weighed over 280. You were what, Phil? 289, right?
289, yeah.
So he lost 80 pounds all about, thereabouts. And for you to say you're some kind of a big wind at 60 pounds, let me tell you something, Chubby. You got a long way to go. And I say that loving Chaz Bono, and you don't know how much it hurts me to have to give you kudos, Phil, but I will.
Well, at least you're giving me kudos, not culottes.
I hope you die from cancer.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Well, she's the one that said it.
Yeah, I did. So what?
So you're the one that said it. Culottes to Phil Hendry, ladies and gentlemen. All right, folks. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass. Just go to philhendryshow.com and pick up that backstage pass as if you've always meant to, as if it's always been just a part, the organic part of you. The backstage pass available at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. Ben Affleck is going to live on $1.50 a day. $1.50 a day. Father James McCorder's on to talk about poverty and how celebrities can highlight the plight of the poor here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and joining us from Glendale, California, we're going to have Father James McCorders to talk about poverty, the plight of the impoverished. There are a lot of people that are going to be influenced by what celebrities think and do, and Ben Affleck is going to be living on $1.50 a day to highlight poverty. Father McCorders, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having us on to talk about such an important thing.
And where are you tonight?
Tonight we're at our parent teacher, which is for our preschool, not a preschool, and as well as our early elementary school students. And we're talking with them about the spiritual counseling that we're making available for our third and fourth and fifth graders. And you can hear that quite a few of the young people and the younger people are now in our kindergarten and our preschool are also here with the parents.
And have you got some time to talk with us?
I've got just a little bit of time, Phil. I've finished with counseling with quite a few parents. I'm quite tired this evening. I'm wanting to go and get something to eat, but I've always got time for you.
Ben Affleck is a celebrity who wants to live on $1.50 a day to highlight poverty. He's set to give up his celebrity lifestyle for this paltry allowance. The Academy Award and Golden Globe Award winner will take part in the Live Below the Line. It's a challenge that will happen next week. It highlights poverty in a unique way by challenging everyday people to live on the equivalent of the extreme poverty line for 5 days.
That is exactly right, Phil. And it's a challenge that's being taken up by a young man like Affleck and some of these other young celebrities and young actors. And I think it shows a great strength of character and a great commitment to the human race and the future of the human race, the future of people, that a young man such as this, so blessed with such talent and so blessed with so many resources, and the fact that he's made such a good living in the entertainment business, that he would sacrifice that and live below the poverty line and live the way some of these people live, I think it speaks volumes for him. I commend him.
Now, you and other educators, as well as other people who work outreach to the poor and other disadvantaged people, you're involved in what way?
Well, as a way that here in Los Angeles and in the Hollywood community, we're there as monitors and people that are going to oversee the project to ensure that the reality of the so-called reality of the poverty. The reality of the lifestyle is maintained. In working with some of the actors that have been involved in this program before, and again, my blood sugar is a little bit low. Get Mrs. Dugan, yes. Some of the stew, please. I've got some stew coming to me, Phil.
I'm sorry to keep you from your dinner. You want to go?
No, it's all right. Mrs. Dugan is going to bring some stew in from the main house, please. Because I've been working so hard, I'm feeling the hunger right now. And I've been testing myself because I don't want to feel well-fed and I don't want to judge another man when I have a full stomach and he doesn't, you see.
All right, so are you going to be like umpires or referees to make sure that the celebrities are living below the poverty line? Is that accurate to say?
That is accurate, yes.
And how would you do that?
Well, what we're doing is we will stop in to the residence, so that would be to the hostel or to the shelter that they're living at, and to talk with them for a few minutes to look at some of the... Bill, and we'll talk with them for a few minutes.
Are you in a crowd there?
No, I'm all right. We'll talk with them for a few minutes, and we'll ensure that they're doing their very best to live below the poverty line to bring this message home to middle-class America. If they're not, if we find that they're living above the poverty line, that they can't take it, that maybe they're too weak for it, we'll certainly point it out to them. And it seems ironic that I'm talking about something like this. I'm waiting for Mrs. Dugan.
You're very hungry, huh?
I'm very hungry, but I also want to be hungry tomorrow when we start this. Because when I encounter Ben Affleck or I encounter some of the other actors, I want to make sure that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling right now. Because if I see them eating extra food and going over that poverty line and eating into a middle class or lower middle class line, they're not holding the line the way the poor should eat, well, I'm not going to be happy. And I'm going to have the same mood that I have right now. Hold the phone for a moment, Phil.
All right.
Where's Dugan? Dugan! Are we on the air?
Yes.
All right, forgive me. Would you tell Mrs. Dugan, please, to bring my stew to me now? I'll take my stew at the table. Yes, I'll be taking my stew here in the study. Mrs. Dugan, I'll be taking the stew. I know there's children coming in and out. I don't want no children coming in and out. I'm sorry, Father Staley, have the children stay with their parents. I don't want any of these. And so I will tell them in no uncertain terms, you are to live below the poverty line, and you will continue to live below a poverty line, because this is how the poor live. Now, I haven't had a thing to eat all day.
You are suffering from low blood sugar, Father, and you're talking to us about poverty and about Ben Affleck living on $1.50 a day. What if Affleck begins to act the way you're acting? What if he is experiencing the same kind of mood swing?
Well, I would say then that he's got low blood sugar like I do, and it'll be real interesting to see whether he's able to suck it up, because that's what I've got to do.
Well, you're having some stew.
Yes, I'm having stew for the first time in 14 hours. I haven't had a thing to eat in 14 hours. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mrs. Dugan, thank you. Could I have a small piece of bread? 10 cents. No. 10 cents, you cheap. Forgive me.
All right, so tomorrow it begins. Ben Affleck will be living on $1.50 a day. You'll be monitoring.
That's it. That's exactly correct. Myself, give me a piece of bread, will you? I'm trying to get just a... Hold on, Phil.
So tomorrow...
Hold on. Hey, Dugan. A piece of bread. 10 cents. You mean 10 cents? What is that? What are you charging for bread? Phil, I've got a little bit of a situation. Nonetheless, tomorrow we will make sure that these celebrities... You see, I'm going to be living on $1.50 a day myself tomorrow just to see how I feel. I don't think I'm feeling too good. I know he won't be feeling... I don't think it's going to be a very good day at all. But the reason why I bring all of this up... What's that? Yes. I asked her for a piece of bread.
Okay, Father McQuarters, we have to take a break soon. Can you stay with me here?
Yes, I'm staying. Hold on. I asked her for a piece of bread.
Well, who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Father Staley. I asked her for a piece of bread, and she says to me, 10 cents. Since when?
If you're going to be...
Hold on, Phil. Since when is she charging a dime? No. What, Phil?
If you're going to be living at the $1.50 a day poverty line along with Ben Affleck tomorrow, then maybe you don't need to eat that bread.
Maybe I do. Maybe I do. You see, it's a decision I'm going to make. I've got to get my calories up. I've got to get my carbohydrates. I've got to get my... In other words, I've got to get my blood sugar up. If I'm going to be living like an animal, at least for tomorrow and who knows how long, at $1.50 a day, get her in here, will you? Get Dugan in here. I'm going to... Yeah, hi, Mr. Dugan. I said I want a piece of bread. Don't tell me 10 cents. Staley said... No, I'm not paying 10 cents for a piece of bread. Go get your... Stick your hand in a loaf of bread and bring me a piece!
Hey, Father McQuarter...
I'm sorry, Phil.
No, but I mean, that's on the air.
I understand that. Who do you think brings the... Well, you know what? God have mercy on me. I'm going to go get some. You know, now don't put your hand. Don't ever put your hands on me. Don't ever eyeball a junkyard dog, and don't you ever put. I'm going to go get a piece of bread, Sarah.
All right, so maybe somebody can get him under control because I'm not going to have him back on the air. I got one guy hanging up on me tonight. This guy sounds like he's going to go back and kick ass on Dugan.
Oh, Mrs. Dugan, Phil, if he puts his hands on her, so help me God.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
I told her once, I told her a million times.
Hey, Father McQuarters.
Hold your foot. Keep your pants on, will you?
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and Truth is Our Bitch, which is also the name of our one-man show, which will be debuting soon.
Yes, we'd all like to know when that's going to be. Excuse me.
Oh, come on, will you?
God, Miss Gray!
You know something, everybody... You're going to get this. Either you're going to get it soon or you're going to get it later, but you'll get it. I don't want my esophagus ripped out of my throat.
Since when does anybody belch so powerfully?
Don't. Hold on.
Could you leave the room, please?
No, I don't think I will.
I'm asking you now to leave the room.
I don't think I will. Get my husband.
Yeah, get I'd like to speak to an attorney. Yeah, get Mr. Gray and get Mr. Wireman.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm getting my lawyer.
So that's how it's going to be.
That's exactly right. Bud?
Who do you want me to call first?
Call my husband first.
Fine, I don't care. And then get Harvey Wireman, please.
So that's the way you want to play this, huh? So you're pushing your outfielders back straight away. Is that it?
Yeah.
Waiting for the Powerball.
That's right.
So you're moving your shortstop back.
Never mind. Have all the baseball terms, okay? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Get Mr. Wireman and get Mr. Gray. It's the Phil Hendry Show. I can't do it anymore. And if you're going to get up and walk out of here and get all bummed out because I don't dig the fact that you're belching on the air, then good. Here's a great thing for my future, ladies and gentlemen. I actually did a couple of episodes of this show. Well, guess what? Futurama's been canceled by Fox.
Yay!
What are you cheering for, you jackball?
Oh.
Futurama canceled Comedy Central series ending with season 7. Oh, it wasn't Fox, it was Comedy Central. Futurama has been canceled again. Comedy Central announced the upcoming second half of season 7 will be the last. New episodes begin Wednesday, June 19th at 10 p.m. And the final of the 13 episode, what does that mean? Which will now be the series finale... will air on September the 4th. Futurama executive producer David X. Cohen said he wasn't shocked by the news. I felt like we were already in the bonus round of these last couple of seasons, so I can say I can't say I was devastated. It was what I had expected 2 years earlier. At this point, I keep a suitcase by my office door so I can be canceled at a moment's notice. Futurama originally aired on Fox from 1999 to 2003. After it was then canceled, reruns of Futurama aired on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. In 2007, the show was revived as 4 direct-to-video movies. I happen to be in one of those.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You can move on now.
I just thought I'd say I happen to be in one of those.
That's nice.
Yeah.
In any event, Comedy Central picked up the rights to the movies and then ordered 2 new seasons of episodes. Having the opportunity to bring Futurama back for 52 episodes over these last 4 years has been a thrill for all of us at Comedy Central, said Executive Vice President Dave Bernath. He's the EVP of Program Strategy and Multi-Programming. Wow.
Well, this only bodes well for you.
Why is that?
I thought you were now going to go out and start to pitch some animation. What is it?
And an animation. Boy, Margaret, I got to tell you something, you know.
Oh yeah. Here, we're going to get heavy.
I just want to say one thing. Today, you sound like you may be on the verge of a stroke. You can't say the word animation. It's emanation. You're opening your yap about what I'm going to pitch and what I ain't going to pitch. You're giving me crap about being on this show. You're belching and telling me that you have the right to belch on the air, which is beyond anything I've ever imagined in my life. And now you've called up. By the way, do we have Frank on the line?
Yeah, I got Frank Holden there. I also got a Harvey Weimer. I called in on him, too.
That's fine. We'll get Frank on.
Yeah, I'd love to speak. Frank? Frank?
Yes, yeah.
It's Margaret Hahn.
Yeah, what's up?
I have called you, Frank, in your capacity as my attorney, even though you are my husband, to settle a dispute that Phil and I are having.
Oh, God almighty. What did she do now?
Well, what he did...
By the way, Frank, you don't have to talk about me like I'm not here. I'm here.
All right, okay. There's no problem, Phil, but every time he calls me, there's something wrong.
Of course there is.
Well, excuse me. Are the two of you going to have a conversation, or is it...
All right, I'm here for you, Margaret. So what did she do?
I had to belch.
Oh, for God's sake.
Would you hold on for a minute?
Yeah, but this is a problem. Every time you call me up and tell me that you had to belch, I wind up paying money. I've never had one of these cases go my way.
First of all, it isn't about you, it's about me.
Ultimately, it's about me, because I'm staking my reputation on my wife and his ability to hold gas in, and if not, will his esophagus get blown to bits. Now, this is the pitch, isn't it?
Can I interrupt, Frank?
No, I'm talking to my client, for God's sake. I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk to you that way, Phil, but he's my client, you're not.
I know, but we happen to be on my show.
All right, that's a good point.
Wait a second, you're counseling me. You said something about the esophagus.
Yes.
First of all, she can't pronounce animation, you can't pronounce esophagus. She's calling it amination, and you call it the esophagus.
I don't know what the name of it is. All I know is his esophagus will get blown to bits if he holds one of those Goulden belches. It's a Goulden belch, isn't it, Margaret?
Yes, it is. It's the spicy mustard.
All right. Now, that's what he told me.
Have you had a doctor weigh in on this?
A doctor weigh in on what?
Whether eating Goulden's mustard creates a belch so powerful it blows the
You see what I mean? This is why she is... I'm hopeful that she's going to be vulnerable this time, because if she's laughing now, then we can put together a case.
All right, is my lawyer on the phone?
Yeah, I got to get Mr. Warman. Hey, Ms. Warman? Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
Hey, Harvey.
Yeah, it's Harvey.
Harvey, it's Phil.
Yeah, what's right?
I got... Frank is on the line.
Hey, Frank. How you doing? I'm doing good. What's going on?
Well, Margaret is threatening legal action again.
No, I'm not threatening legal action, Harvey. I'm simply saying that if I need to belch, I shouldn't have to do a mea culpa, and become Roman Catholic and flay myself with a knotted rope and flay the skin off my own back and all these other things that Phil feels I should do.
Well, I've told you about, if you're going to hire somebody like Miss Gray, she's going to let one rip, and isn't that true? I will tell you this much. I've been married to him for, what's it been now, honey, 40 years. And he's the kind of woman, and I can tell you that he's a very delicate and very genteel woman. I have never known Margaret not to behave in a way that is completely, just very feminine, but occasionally he needs to belch. Now, as I said, he's very delicate, he's very ladylike, and he's very feminine. But when he lets one go, yeah. And see, this was the Goulden issue, and before Phil brought it up, I remember this with another client. No, you don't remember it with another client. What are you talking about? If it's Goulden's...
Well, I've been eating the Goulden's, yes.
Can I ask a question here, gentlemen?
Go ahead, yeah.
Margaret, what are you eating? Are you eating the Goulden's straight or something?
No, I'm not eating it straight. I'm having it on light ham and rye.
Okay, is this before the show?
Yes, it's before the show. What I have, my usual pre-show meal, is I eat a very, very light ham with Swiss, cheddar, and Munster.
What about a Limburger?
I don't eat Limburger. You are really retarded. You know that? I don't eat Limburger.
Well, there is one cheese you do eat.
Yes, the gorgonzola, of course. And then I put it between two thick pieces of of rye.
All right, so in other words, you pile it high and deep. No, I don't think that's high and deep. You don't? She just got done saying the Swiss and the...
I said...
Hold on, I kept track of it. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Light ham, Swiss, gorgonzola...
Yes.
Munster...
Yes.
And then two pieces of rye bread, and how...
Well, I ask her if she swears she ladles on the Gouldens, or is it just a dollop?
I like to slather it on pretty good. Why? What business is it of yours?
I happen to be counsel for the defendant. Now, the...
He's not the defendant. I am.
No, honey. Technically, she brought the complaint. And so, you brought the complaint against her.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so then she would be the defendant. All right, so you say she, Phil Henry. That's right. I don't speak Chinese. You almost said you don't speak English, which I was about to agree with. Okay, look, Harvey, you and I have done a great business together down through the years, okay? You know I respect you, and I often say to people she's one of the greatest attorneys I've ever known. Thank you. But I also tell them that she can be a pain in the ass. Yeah, okay, I bet you do. And I bet you they nod and then they walk away real slow and then turn around and kind of glance back and keep walking, don't they? Matter of fact, they do.
Okay, I have to break.
Yeah, you do that.
Why are you laughing? I bet you think you got this one hands down.
I don't care, Margaret, I really don't. I'm just, if you can't understand that it's not polite to belch on the air, if you're telling me that you'd rather just belch on the air then have your esophagus blown to bits, then okay, I'll let you do that. That's fine. I won't make a big deal out of it.
Oh, well, aren't you just the most magnanimous? Yay! I don't trust you. There's something going on there.
We'll be right back, folks. Phil Henry Show.
Truth you're far too lackadaisical about bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Do you have the Goulden sandwich in question?
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, along with Margaret Gray, myself, Harvey Wireman, Frank Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. Gentlemen, I just wanted to, and Margaret, you can, as I said, I'm not trying to play the victim here.
Phil, this is Frank. Let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
Hey, hold on. My client is not finished talking. I know that. That's why I asked permission of her. You know, I want to say something, okay, Gray? I'm talking about your client. I asked her permission. I want to say something. When are you going to get your mind fixed? Because you sound like you belong in a nut house.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, with her and him and her.
Harvey, I've told you it doesn't register with Frank.
What are you talking about? Now you're babbling like you've got dementia. I always thought that she was a little... You know, she needs to be put out to pasture. See, I don't like being called she. I didn't call you he. I called you she. Oh, God!
Hold on for a minute, will you? We're not going to get into that discussion. I want to just say a couple things here. First of all, you know, Margaret, you can eat whatever you want. And as I said to her when we were going into the break, if she wants to belch, okay, fine. The audience is the one that is going to ultimately judge that.
Well, and I believe, Mr. Henry, that if you support my wife... Even as he lets one go, a Goulden or whatever it is, if you support him in his belching, my wife will be fine. But if you don't support him, your audience will turn on him like the pack of wild dogs that you know any audience can be, and will rip his delicate female... Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Oh, well, you quit being dramatic, Gray. I think that's what's wrong with you. You've got the untreated syphilitic... condition is causing you to call everybody a her and a he, and you think that the he or she or an it. What do you mean by calling my wife a she? I call... Yes. Never mind. So, Mr. Henry...
Okay, so if I've got this right...
Wait a minute, Mr. Henry. You were talking about the Gouldens. Now, you know full well that every woman And you even said so on your radio programming tonight that every woman you've ever known eats food spicy. Didn't you say that?
I said every woman that I've known recently, yeah.
Well, I don't believe you said that. I said tonight on your show, I mean, I said on my show tonight.
No, I said on my show.
You see how dingy this guy is?
You're talking about my husband, Mr. Wireman.
Fine, you're talking about your husband. And this guy's representing you? Dingy, huh? At least I can still go to the bathroom without having someone come in and hold the thing up there for me. That's only because it's getting too heavy for me to hold. Oh! You know, I don't have to sit here and take this, Mr. Hendry. Kim talking about that thing of his. Okay, so it hits the floor and rolls to the wall.
You know, you guys are like children, you know that?
I'm very offended by this. You're offended by it. You're the guy that brought up my...
Okay! What's the spicy food got to do with it?
Because if my wife wants to eat spicy food, he has that right. Women eat spicy food. You just got done saying that. And so for you to say that he doesn't have that right, and that he's supposed to sit there and just let the gas build up until his head explodes so that your radio show can be genteel and everyone that drinks tea with their pinky sticking up in the air will feel comfortable. Well, guess what? I will not advise him to do that. I love him. He's my wife. You hear the way this guy sounds? God, are you weird.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Gray. I've been practicing the law since the early 1950s, and I've never listened to another attorney called to the bar, talk like a babbling village imbecile the way you do with the he and the she. I don't know what you're saying, but I object, Your Honor. We're not in court.
No, you're not in court, and this is about all I can handle of this. I will go ahead and allow her to do whatever she needs to do.
You go right ahead and you puss out, Henry. That's what I think, that she's being very magnanimous, and I appreciate that. Oh, man.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
There, you see? We can always work these things out. What are you looking at?
You know I'm looking at you, because that husband of yours is dingy as two coats of paint. He, she, he, all that.
What about Wireman, who can't even say Goulden's, well...
Harvey sounded fine to me.
Well, as I think Frank pointed it out. Sorry. Frank pointed it out. He said, women eat spicy food, so you can't keep me from having my Gouldens. You can't keep me from slathering it on.
No, I know that I can't, but I thought maybe I could have you act like a lady.
How dare you? I act like a lady. Frank just made that point in open court.
Not in open court.
In open radio.
Okay, so he made the point you're a lady. Spicy food notwithstanding, I've never known any woman who's ever eaten spicy food that sits there on a radio broadcast and just bleh, 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 belches like that. That was my whole point.
Well, welcome to the world of Margaret Gray. Yay!
Way to go, Ms. Gray!
Thank you.
I think it's very immature. I think it's very immature, and that's just how I feel about it. Sorry. All right, I thank you very much for that. It got us sidetracked from this Futurama discussion that we're having. And the reason why we got into this whole discussion is you were saying to me that I'm going to go out and start pitching animation. Maybe I am and maybe I'm not. Maybe I will and maybe I won't. What business is it of yours?
It's entertainment business. I demand to know it.
Well, the fact is we are going to pitch a couple of things, but you ain't going to get to know about it until and if anything happens, which it probably won't. But hey, Futurama has run its course. It's a great statement in the history of animation. Matt Groening's had a fantastic run with The Simpsons still going strong. And as Matt said, Futurama could live on again, but not right away. Matt Groening said they're exploring some continuation prospects, but there are no serious talks yet. We're catching our breath and seeing what the fans have to say, he told EW. The experience of this show has been so much fun from the very beginning to now. Everybody's so happy to work on this show that it'd be a shame if we all went our separate ways. We would love to continue. We have many more stories to tell, but if we don't, this is a really great way to go out. I think these episodes are the best ones we've ever done. Guest stars for the upcoming season finale include Larry Bird, Dan Castellaneta, who was, as you know and is, the voice of Homer Simpson, Sarah Silverman, George Takei, Adam West, and Burt Ward.
Don't guys ever do anything separately?
Who are you talking about?
Adam West and a Burt Ward.
Those are the Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they do things separately.
What's that mean?
Because they're always Batman and Robin.
Yeah, they're... who knows, man, why they have them on. So that's the ending of a an era there with Futurama. Here's the thing about that show, it's as I said, it's produced by Matt Groening. That's a guy who's had the greatest success of any animator in history. I mean, The Simpsons is going on. I don't know how many thousands of years it's been on the air, and doesn't show any signs of slowing down. It's fantastic. How can you ask for anything more? The guy has had the longest-running animated series, one of the longest-running TV shows ever.
And has he ever invited you to be a voice on that show?
On Futurama.
No, on Simpsons.
On Futurama.
On Simpsons.
On Futurama.
Oh, I get it. You don't want to say anything. What a chicken.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, back for our final hour, right after these messages.
On The Simpsons.
On Futurama.
You're a chicken-hearted lily. No guts.
Take it easy, will you?
Hey, don't talk to him that way.
Phil Hendry.